Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pod. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers heist has rapidly turned into a disaster. Adrian murdered a curator and failed to stop the rest of the staff from escaping. Red was about to apologize for their terrible plan when armed Egyptian cultists attacked, and Richter is at the mercy of a demon, and he can't wake up because he's been drugged. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
So, Adrian, you had mentioned as you were escaping, kind of shielding Red with your body and carrying Grandpa Richard, that you wanted to fire the narwhal at them. So we kind of described the action of you sneaking Red over to hide behind this armadillo. As you'll recall, we are in the Met. You are fighting a couple of gangsters dressed like mummies. Old Man Richter is full of laudanum and is having a rough trip with his memories of Sally. Which sounds like a shitty spice blend you could get at, like, the grocery store. Like, memories of Sally. I'm going to say, kind of as you rush over, you do that cool thing that I mostly only do in VR games badly, where you just kind of, like, link the swing the narwhal around behind you and kind of fire behind you as you run. So go ahead and roll, please, with a firearm shotgun. And we'll see you're doing this as you take that hit and kind of slide into cover.
Fail.
No.
All right, so... that honestly makes a lot of sense, given that you're shooting while running, while carrying a person, while shielding a person. So unfortunately, you blow the wing off a pterodactyl that's kind of hanging in a delightful swooping fashion. fragments of bone come raining down. It does buy you a second or two of calm as the mobsters fall back. You can suddenly, you hear one of them kind of say, like, oh shit, the alarm's gone. Kind of peeking out from cover, Red and Adrian, you can see that, one of them is kind of standing more squarely in the entrance, with the Tommy gun. The other one's like, I'll go warn the boss, and takes off, further into the museum. What do you do?
I would like to remove any and all obstacles from this room with my gun.
It's the worst curation I've ever seen. You're like, I will remove every obstacle, and you just start like shooting plaques. Like, get the fuck out of here, velvet rope. Go ahead and roll. Claire, what is your dex, please?
My dex is 90.
Okay. So you'll definitely go before them. So that's fine. So go ahead and roll for firearms as you kind of peek around the corner. Again, just ignoring the absolute unfathomable agony in your chest from your very recent heart surgery.
Yeah, that is a very extreme success.
Well, I mean, you know, once you've killed one mummy, you've killed them all, I guess. So you open up with your pistol. Pistols aren't great at this distance, but if you pull the trigger fast enough and keep your shots kind of relatively in the same spot, you can do what Red does, which is blow a series of holes in the chest of the mobster, who kind of goes down spraying with a Tommy gun, shooting kind of a line of bullets through the ceiling. Sort of plaster comes raining down, the figure goes down. We'll say during this time, Adrian, you were able to reload, just because it makes sense that as soon as you put Grandpa down, you would do that. I assume, Red, with that in mind, you're probably going to like get up and book it after these guys. Is that the plan?
Yeah. They're running farther into the museum. Are they running the direction that I probably would have run anyway?
They're clearly headed towards the Tutankhamun.
Then correct.
Great. Adrian, what do you think you'd be carrying? You'd pick Richard back.
Yeah, I'd pick up Grandpa Richter again and then come after.
So as soon as you...
Yeah, I would have been like, let's go, Addie, and then run.
What's our plan?
If it moves, shoot it.
You don't look very good. Like, you kind of look worse than Grandpa, and I thought Grandpa was going to sleep forever. Should we be running towards a bunch of people with guns?
That's a solid question, Addie. Unfortunately, time is of the essence, and I want to get this job done. So,
but you always say dying to do a job is for stupids.
That is a solid point. So Red will slow and just be like, you know what, Eddie, I think, thank you for throwing my words back at me.
Okay.
Let's go a little slower, shall we? But we still need to go in.
Okay.
Are you going to collect the Tommy gun? Is that a Red thing or an Adrian thing, do you think?
Ooh, considering he's holding Richter and also the narwhal, I think Red will pick up the tome again.
Okay, great. So, Adrian, I assume you're taking point just because if Red gets shot, she's toast.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. So you begin to kind of move forward cautiously. I think, like, very much.
Richard is dangling further, so he's safe. He's kind of got him by, like, the ankles. So there's just, like, a full old man slapping him in the ass as he walks.
And I assume it's
rushing to my head.
It's very much like shotgun out in front, old man over the arm.
Yeah.
It's very like Schwarzenegger, I don't know, carrying his groceries with a gun, I assume. I don't know. I don't know how he lives.
Yeah.
It's a little donkey's move. Do it for him. I don't know. All right. So you.
He and I both have donkeys.
That's true. So you press forward, and by now you can hear sirens outside. You approach the Tutankhamun exhibit. You can hear the now louder footfalls of the mummy who is running away. You just hear him yelling like, "Boss, we got company. If you want that thing, we gotta grab it and go."
Please go.
Okay. You hear some assorted shouts. You hear a number of bottles crack. You hear a voice just say, "Don't worry about the bottles anymore, kids. Whiskey's the small-time stuff. We're grabbing this here tablet and we're going."
Great. Great. Then they can have the tablet. and I'll wait for them to clear out.
Okay, so do you convey that to Adrian, or do you just step into the shadows?
Adrian is just advancing. He's already 10 feet ahead of you with the shotgun.
Then she's going to say, "Addie, get back!" And then just kind of hold up her mouth, her finger to her mouth.
He's going to take, like, four, like, big Looney Tunes-style walks backward, making no sound, but keeping his shotgun aimed.
You hear footsteps kind of rushing back towards you. It would seem that if all of the crew doesn't have to move the imported ale anymore, liquor. They actually do have time to deal with you now. So you can hear them heading towards you, but you do have a couple moments before they're upon you. What do you do?
I assume that being in the cover, like, of wherever I am is not going to do it.
You can definitely, like, I think it'll likely be a stealth check, but you can definitely roll to hide.
Yes,
like, it's just
the
beautiful thing about trying to hide in, like, a darkened museum is there's just a fuck ton of places to just, like, disappear. And again, we've established they can't see very well because they're wearing stupid fake mummy masks.
And yes, I would like us both, all to hide.
Okay.
In the shadows.
All right.
Yeah, so I think Addie'll hide. I'm not even going to roll a check. He's so fucking bad at it, but I imagine this is probably a thing that they've run before, which is Red with gun over one side, Addie, obvious distraction on the other. Right. So he'll probably... Is there somewhere he could hide Grandpa Richard or put Grandpa Richard in something that looks like bullets won't hit him?
Outside the exhibit, there are a couple of sarcophagi that are there for display, kind of leaned up against fake pillars.
Red, should I put Grandpa in one of those big people boxes?
Yes, you should, Addie. Just be very quiet.
I'm not supposed to be... Okay.
he's going to try to sneak over and put Grandpa Richard in a sarcophagus.
All right, go ahead and roll me a stealth check just for shits and giggles.
Can the wards that I... crafted for us assist in any way?
No, because it isn't a magical thing. It's just people with guns. But
I succeeded. The odds were very low, but I succeeded.
In that case, Tyler, those wards really just got him up and over.
I feel validated.
Yep.
as your face slaps against my tuxedoed ass on the way to a sarcophagus.
That's so, the finest ass money can buy.
you stuff old man Richter into the sarcophagus. Just as you're closing the kind of like cover, his eyes blink open and are jet black. And then you close the door as you hear the footfalls of mummy gangsters coming rushing down towards you. So with that, you kind of roll around the side, and these two thugs kind of step out into the room, and they begin a full-on fucking Metal Gear / Last of Us, like, we're goons who are patrolling an area looking for people thing, where they take like three steps and then look back suddenly just in case you're trying to be stealthy.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Mm. So I'm going to roll spot hittins for both of them. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. Interesting. Interesting. So one of them was absolutely terrible. The other one was very good. It was an 8. So we'll say, just based on how we've been describing this, Red, you're pretty well hidden. And from your vantage point, you can see there's one clearly, like, walking up to dear sweet Addy, who has pressed himself against a wall and is... Do you think you'd be trying to, like, pretend to be a hieroglyph? Would you be doing, like, the shitty, like, walk like an Egyptian thing? What do you think you're Kronk from fucking Emperor's New Groove hide would be?
He doesn't know anything about Egypt, but he knows it's a museum, and he knows smart people go to museums, so he would be miming reading a book.
Just looking at his open
bless palms. Your heart.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the narwhal like tucked under an arm, and he's just like just turning an invisible page and looking at it and just hoping no one sees him.
Red, you can tell that the mummy who did manage to pass the check is going to see him in a moment. What do you do to draw his attention away?
I will throw something down the corridor away from us.
What do you throw?
I throw one of my... well, right now I have two pistols and a Tommy gun. Mm-hmm. So... I'm going to throw one of my pistols.
All right. Can you roll me a throw check, please? Because that's a skill that exists in this game that I don't think we've ever used.
That is absolutely a fail.
Okay, so you... yeah, you're like one of those people who sucks at... Admittedly, I would also be this person who's like, yay, I'm a celebrity doing the first pitch in a baseball game. Just throw it directly into the dirt in front of you. So you take out your gun... with kind of an Indiana Jones level of like, I'd like this gun, you toss it. Unfortunately, it's not that the gun just falls directly at your feet. It's actually a pretty good throw. Unfortunately, it's through a glass container. So there's a shattering of glass around a, we'll say, I don't know, maybe sort of like... So the metallic neck jewelry that's on like a little stand. So it breaks through there in a huge like shower of glass. The pistol goes off. The bullet sort of like hits a wall. In shock, both of the thugs turn and open fire on the cabinet with their Tommy guns. Luckily, Red, despite failing, like this actually went pretty fucking well. Mm-hmm. They didn't see Adrian reading his book. No one hit old man Richter in his sarcophagus. All pretty good stuff. Until you hear that classic Canadian noise that I'm going to just imbue with these gangsters. The sound of someone fumbling something. A classic oop. And then you hear the sound of stone shattering. And if you can imagine what that sound is, it's awful. It's thick and heavy, and it echoes and rings off the walls. And you just hear someone say, like, "Oh, well, God damn it, I guess we need the alcohol, not..." And then you hear a scream of a pitch, the likes of which you have rarely heard, that seems to almost get choked out as it occurs. Do you peek around the corner?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So you see a woman who is dressed in, again, kind of the mummy gear, but has clearly unwrapped it a bit. And is clearly the ringleader of this particular crew. In front of her is a massive stone tablet that is shattered and in pieces, sort of scattered throughout. And Red, you fucking hate magic. You know, you like things you can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a 50-50 for you, because the woman who ideally you would just shoot... is currently being lifted off the ground as her skin withers, as an ancient figure lurches forth from a sarcophagus behind her, reveling in the muscle beginning to grow around his hands and arms. And it would seem that through the careless throwing of a pistol, you accidentally awoke the curse of Tutankhamun.
Ding tut. That great Steve Martin song.
It is very good.
Funky King Tut song.
Adrian, these two mummies are shooting a glass cabinet, but you've successfully read a book and they didn't notice you. What do you do?
I think Adrian knows where he's at his best, and where he's at his best is up close. And he needs to keep Red alive, which means he needs these guys to go to sleep. So he is going to basically draw his spooky knife, and then he just wants to charge and try to just stab the shit out of the guy that's closest to him. If there's a smart one, he knows. Stab the smart one first.
Fair enough. Well, probably then the one that was closest to you, because he almost caught you and you're very
smart. Yeah,
that's
the one. That's my guy.
Yeah, great. So go ahead and roll a... I guess that's a fighting brawl, I believe. Unless there's a knife skill that I just don't
know. No, we used a fighting brawl.
Yeah. Can you roll for shank, please?
Roll to give this particular snitch some stitch.
Okay, that is a hard success.
Nice.
All right, so yeah, he's not ready for you. Also, you know, upon... closer inspection, they're wearing kind of like, for lack of a better term, ninja gear under their stuff. It was clearly meant to be like, move quietly, which also means it is not padded at all. So just knife goes in, guts come out. You run up and just like fucking impale the guy through the back. What do you say as you do it?
I don't think he says anything because he's got to protect Red, so he can't like give himself away. Then the goal is... basically stab the guy, and when he's dead, just pick him up and hit the other guy with him. Just like bull rush, like a, you know, linebacker okay. style.
Yeah, amazing. So I'm going to need from you then, sir, a... what's it going to be? Probably another fighting brawl. I'm sorry, I hate making people roll the same check twice, but I think in this case it makes the most sense.
It is a brawl, yeah. That is... that is a success, but I'm going to spend 8 luck and make it another hard success.
Nice. Okay, great. Ryan, can you also please roll me an occult check or a mythos check? Dealer's choice.
Lordy.
Probably a mythos if you've got it.
I mean, theoretically, I have anything.
Claire, can you, I'm sorry, I meant to mention this before. Can you roll a sanity check, please, for looking upon the mummy.
Right. And I have to get above?
You need to roll under sanity.
Under. Oh, yeah. Oh, no! My sanity is 47 and I rolled a 48.
All right.
Luck or no?
Yeah, you could.
Can I? Yes.
I think you can spend luck. You're still going to lose sanity because that's just the way the mythos
that's fair.
Cookie crumbles. You're going to lose 3 points of sanity.
Okay.
But it was on a much lower dice than. It was the difference between like a d6 and a d4. So good. Okay. Good work.
Oh, you can spend luck to have sanity loss. Cost you double the luck.
Damn.
If we're looking at what it says on the luck skill, I just knew there was a sanity thing.
Okay, so well then, Claire, I'll let you take back the luck you spent to pass.
Okay.
And no, you still need to have spent that, otherwise it'd be a D6. But you can spend, I guess, to have 3, you'd have to spend 6?
Double 6, you'd have to spend 12.
No, because you only took 3.
No, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, then that'd be 16. Yeah, you're right.
I feel like losing sanity makes sense right now.
Yeah, I think particularly for Red, there's something like extra bullshitty about like, okay, for a second I thought it was magic, and then it just turned out to be people, and that was great. But it's still fucking magic. It's just a different magic.
Yeah, I just wanted this to be a nice little museum heist, and god damn it.
I mean, at least you guys didn't unleash the mummy, but... That's fine. All right, so Ryan.
I don't have mythos. I definitely failed my occult role.
Okay.
There's occult and there's mythos. I don't know if...
Mythos isn't even on my sheet as a skill.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Cthulhu mythos.
Oh, Cthulhu mythos?
You may not have any...
That's an even worse score. That's a straight up 0. I cannot do
better. This is where you really need an old man Richter. Okay, so that's fine. What I would say, Addy, is... similar to kind of the feeling you've gotten around like Wackadoo Willie and around your mansion, you have an instinct for when spoopy shit is afoot, and you get that spidey sense tingling. Unfortunately, because you failed everything forever, I can't tell you what it means, but you get the sense that occult things are afoot. It almost seems to be in the air around you, almost like when a storm's coming in and you can feel kind of the electricity in the air. But that doesn't matter to you, because what matters to you is fucking bull rushing this guy. You got an extreme success, so you just like fucking you're pushing the other guy. You just drive him directly back into the dinosaur room, far away from Red. I need you to please roll me a dodge.
Hey, friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at...
Patreon.com/dumdumdice.
That's right. That address that I totally just said. Go there. Join Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Support the show. It's going to be great.
That is a success.
Great. Faster than you could think possible, a massive trap comes clanging down in front of you. You're able to pull back. It rips the guy you were pushing in half. And as you kind of step back from it, you realize it's not a trap, although it has teeth. It's a massive white skull with very sharp teeth that tosses the half gangster up into the air. Before double chomping it as a banner falls behind it saying when dinosaurs ruled the earth. And you realize you're in for a fucking night at the museum. What do you do?
He would like to turn around and run away.
Right. Go ahead and roll sanity, please.
Playing to his strengths, I see. That is a definitive failure.
That's
like I
cool.
rolled more than double my sanity.
That is 3 points.
Oh.
Old man Richter. So you are still kind of in your drugged out dreamscape, the sort of demonic image of Sally seems to be kind of lurching over you. What do you think, Old Man Richter? Is he, would he assume this is some kind of demonic presence? Would he assume that this is a figment of his imagination, a representation of his guilt? What do you think his knee-jerk reaction to this would be?
I think he would ask. He's got the opportunity.
Ah, fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
In this creature's clutches, he would just say, who are you?
Sally, fully, like, it's one of those head tilts at 90 degrees where it's purely on the axis of her neck. Mm. She says,
well, Old Man Richter, that is a bit of a complicated question, I am afraid. But you would know me by my name, Sally.
Remember me, Mr. Richter?
Not like this, I don't. But what is this?
This is the price of failure. And then she reaches back with one of her clawed arms and goes to impale you. Roll a dodge check, please.
That's not gonna be very good. Not very good at all. Bum, 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 bum. I rolled a 67. My dodge threshold for a normal success is 15.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so Richter, you are going to take 7 points of damage.
Okay.
As she fully kind of claw lifts you into the air and then rapidly pulls back. It's a full-on, like, Devil May Cry situation where as you kind of fall back to Earth, you find that there are no wounds. You've taken the damage. So it seems that your strategy so far is less to try and evade whatever this is and more to actually interrogate it.
This is now still my mind.
Yeah, now that you've been dropped, what do you do?
I think maybe I'd like to push the limits of this dream that I'm having and perhaps will myself to be stronger here.
Mm, okay. I like that. Can you roll me a mythos check, please?
Is that occult or Cthulhu mythos?
Ooh, I would take either. It's up to you.
I'm a baby. It's going to be a cult, let me tell you. I'm building up that mythos stat, but it is not great so far.
Fair enough.
Yeah, at a 65, that's a normal success, like well within my threshold. Yeah.
So I think the interesting thing to me, Tyler, about how you've kind of described Richter and how he approaches this sort of stuff is, and we've talked about this a bunch in previous episodes, but that idea of curiosity, that when confronted with like horrors and otherworldly things, your instinct isn't, I have to fight this. It's, what is this? I would like to know more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a weird way, becoming stronger in your dreamscape is actually, in a weird way, just kind of like not really trucking the bullshit of like, ooh, spooky thing in my dream. Like, no, let's, like, how does that make you feel, spooky thing in my dream? rather than like bulking up or like having some major physical difference, I think.
It's definitely, it's the perfect analogy is the wizard's duel between Merlin and Mad Madam Mim is like, no one's just like hurling lightning bolts or anything. It's just like changing your shape and your form and getting larger and smaller mm-hmm. as necessary. It's not about, he's not going Super Saiyan in his dream or anything like that.
It's
just.
No, I like that a lot. Okay, so as you kind of begin to form a stronger base with your success, I'm going to give you an option. Having kind of seized control of your dream from your subconscious, you can either attempt to wake up or attempt to get to the bottom of what this thing is.
I think Richter would want to dig deeper. I think he's in this, like, if laudanum wasn't already so addictive, producing this result for Richter, he's going to want to do this again anyway. Like, so he's in it all the way as far as deep as he can go right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Claire. I was thinking the same thing.
I got you.
We all were. Okay. What would you want to try and figure out about this creature? I'm just looking at the list of skills here, and there's everything from psychoanalysis to psychology to obviously intimidate, persuade, all that sort of stuff. What are you trying to... What's the thing you'd be most focused on, do you think?
So she has sort of like stuck like a hand into me, sort of stabbed me in that way and let me drop to the ground. And so she is still large and has many arms. Is that right?
Yeah. She seems the interesting thing about this creature that you're seeing is that it doesn't seem to be trying to intimidate you with its physicality at all. After it dropped you, the other arms almost seemed almost like someone politely putting their hands behind their back, seemed to have kind of folded away and somewhat disappeared. So now it is still looming up and over you in kind of that angular stooped shoulder headpiece. But the more you seize control of the dream, the less this shape makes sense. It starts to lose a bit of its corporeal, not corporealness, but it's... it becomes a little more vague, if that makes any sense. Just as you be, because it was very much in control, and now you are more in control, so it is less able to present itself as that.
Okay,
that makes sense.
In that case, I want to chase that feeling of being in control of the space and taking control from this presence. With the intention of not like extinguishing it, but cornering it.
Hmm. Okay. So maybe let's go with intimidate then, I think.
Intimidate is going to be dog shit, but let's go for it, right? Intimidation. Here we go. Holy shit, I actually rolled under. I rolled an 11, which is a regular success. Wow.
Nice.
Damn. Okay. So, chasing that feeling of being in control and of again, this is your mind. Fragmented though it may be, it is yours. The creature begins to almost begin to dissipate. It gets a bit foggier. The sort of nightmare form begins to slip away. It begins to look a lot more like Sally. But still with kind of the black eyes, and the thin smile. So as you're kind of seeing this angular shape sort of coalesce back into that of a person, you notice that, she isn't child sized. She seems to be, roughly your height.
I would like to produce a table with tea for two. And just, I'll sit down and I'll just gesture across the table and say, this is my mind and my dreams and my memory. And you are a guest here. Please, I would like to chat.
The figure smiles and says, you know, Benny told me how much you like to have chats over tea, and I didn't quite believe him. But it would seem you got a little bit more social in your old age. Delightful. As you kind of blink, she's seated with the tea. And she says, well then, you're the host. What shall we speak about?
Where did you come from?
Well, again, this is a complicated answer, but I have existed for far longer than you small dreams of us old ones.
I have lived untold lives. And yet now I find myself living anew. Thanks, actually, in part to you and your mystery punchers.
You know much of us, yeah?
Well, yes, that's the... You know, it's the damnedest thing. When you find an avatar and you merge with them and their memories become yours and yours become theirs... I learned the dark, untold secrets of the universe. I learned what the betrayal of those who love most did. But the fun thing is, we both had that. Sally did, and I did. And I did, and the Croatoan did. And so, you see, we were really quite at a nice mid-ground. We had so very much in common. So, yes, I know all about you. I know how you failed me. I know how Tracy... left me to die, and now I know how to just bring the whole gang back together. I started with Benny, and now we're moving on to you.
I see. I'm not to wake up again, am I?
Oh, that is embarrassing. I should be clear. You are actually awake right now. I just have some errands to do. Back out in the museum, Adrian, you're running from a T-Rex skeleton. Red, you're witnessing a mobster be consumed by King Tutankhamun. And you can hear the sort of like the sounds of things waking up throughout the museum. This has gone truly pear-shaped. What do you do?
I get the hell out of there. Amazing. Like, this is not a job that I can do anymore.
Great.
I think like obviously not leave Richter in his sarcophagus. but I also can't carry Richter.
Yeah, totally fair. So you turn as you watch the face of this woman kind of crumble inward as the last of her essence is consumed. You turn and run. And as you said, you know, you can't really carry Richter, but you also don't want to leave him. But I've actually got very good news for you, because when you go to the sarcophagus, you find it empty.
That's great news.
So great. Awesome. Like, nothing bad at all is happening.
It's one less thing to worry about, you know?
Exactly.
It's nice. It's nice that something took care of itself.
Thank you, Richter. Thank you.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Whoever you are.
Which is the point at which Adrian comes running up to you with what you're pretty sure is a Tyrannosaurus skeleton chasing him.
Okay, well then, so basically on one hand we have the T-Rex and then the other hand we have the mummy. Yes?
Which is about Red the time...
if Red doesn't start running, Adrian is picking up Red and continuing running.
Great. You grab Red, and yes, Claire, to your point, you've got dinosaur skeletons waking up and chasing you.
Uh-huh.
You've got the mummy. Luckily, it's a museum, so everything's vaguely circular. Adrian, you grab Red, and I think it's kind of like an under the arms, also kind of a drag. The two of you begin to like just run as fast as you can, only to come up short. When a legion of knights steps out to block your way.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Sure I can't get you a drink?
They'd had a moment, hadn't they? That afternoon when Garrett had smiled just like this, warm-eyed and amused in a way that made Tony want another cigarette, but also want to step forward and...
Hey, Kate, what are you writing? Ah!
New text post on Thursday, May 21st.
Title: Why You Should Be Watching Selkirk.
So, Selkirk fandom, who wants to read my 5,000-word essay, Garrett Last Name, Secret Werewolf?
I'm Kate, by the way.
They kissed?
I think I lucked out when I found Selkirk. Because if I'd loved something else, I would have made friends, and I would have been able to read a ton of great stories.
But this way, I met you.
Me and Dayu, a new story about love and fandom from the Procyon Podcast Network.